Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Constructive Criticism. I'm your host, Spencer, and I am joined by my co-host, Michael.
Yeah, I'm still here. Still bad at the Revolt Limited. Some things never change.
What is happening right now? The most interesting way to introduce yourself ever. Because I was going to say, I'm really sorry that we missed a week. I had death. And you were like, F this.
I mean, sometimes you just like, just, you know, you just
did
got
you
off.
Did you drop at 8-5?
I did. It was too bad. My second draft deck was sick. But, you know, I was mostly just, it felt like I was playing lands in Legacy with all basic lands.
Is that a good thing?
No, it wasn't. That was the problem. Like that wasn't what was supposed to happen.
So you're going to a GP this weekend.
Yep, go play San Antonio.
You need to X3 as a team in order for you to get silver, and it would also get...
I mean, I have Alex on my team. It's easy.
Yeah, I would say it would also get Alex silver.
No, he needs the X2.
So he needs to top four.
We're just going to win. It's fine.
If you win, that gets... you both silver and a chance for gold.
Yeah, I mean,
and
so the
also
plan is just
qualifies
to
Matt for the Pro Tour. So.
Yeah, the plan is just to win.
Yeah, that would be powerful. I mean, just top fouring also does all of that, right?
Yeah, but I mean, if you're going to top four, you may as well win.
You might as well. Hashtag no big deal. Well, thank you everybody for joining us this week. Sorry we missed last week. I was really sick. We often will record when I'm sick because we record at my house.
But it depends on how sick, right? Like if you're like a little under the weather, it's kind of whatever. But if you're like dying,
yeah,
it's just not a good time for anyone.
So the thing is that I'm normally okay doing it, but I usually am really bad at work the next day.
Right. Like, or you listen to the podcast after and you're like,
yeah,
maybe I shouldn't have recorded that podcast.
We actually did a podcast at like the week that I got my appendix out and we got multiple tweets that were like, yeah, you can tell Spencer's on drugs.
So you're just like insanely stoned the whole time.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
Spencer, we can tell you're on drugs. Like, just take a week off, man. Yeah. So I was pretty sick last week, so we took the week off. But this week we get to talk about Modern. We get really cool training grounds, and we have a question from a listener. We also have a couple questions waiting. I would love to do a mailback episode with our patrons. I kind of made a post in the Patreon feed. On patreon.com, but also if you are in the Constructive Critics group for being a patron of $5 or more, there's a thread there going. But yeah, I'm super excited about doing something like that. Let's go right into our first segment, which is about the patron. You can become a patron of the show by donating any amount that you see fit, starting at $1 or more per month. Anything that you can donate is sincerely appreciated. We have four new patrons this week. We have Austin, Jurgen, James, Francis, and Paul. Guys, I cannot express the amount of gratitude over the last month at the increase in patronage.
It's sweet, though. I mean, it's just good feedback, and I think we're both really happy to know that you are enjoying it.
Yeah,
that's the most important thing, right?
I've been having a lot of fun on the two-man shows, and... listeners are loving them, and I'm loving doing them. I think that it is, it's still nice to do it in the same room, but it's like a conversation between the two of, I don't know, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's just like, it makes sense, right? Like, you can express all your thoughts if it's just you want a podcast. The problem is it's hard to, like, fill the space or hard to have enough to say or, you know, so some variety of things, but it's easier... sometimes just having two people talking, just it's how conversations work normally.
Yeah. So I've really been joining it. Sounds like you guys have too. And shout out to Austin, Jurgen, James, Francis, and Paul. We really appreciate your patronage. If you want to become a patron of the show, you can go to patreon.com/ccmtg and you can submit a question of the week. This week, we have a question from one of our listeners that says, "Hey guys, love the show. My question is about getting over the hump. I've been trying to play more PBTQs this year and can't seem to get past the quarterfinals. What do you guys do to get through the elimination rounds on a regular basis? Thanks for the great content and tell Manny hi." I'm not telling Manny hi for you. No, I will. I'm just kidding. But this is an interesting question because there are seasons where it's real easy for me. Like this season, it took me three PBTQs to win one. the season before that that I played in PPTQs, it took me one season or one event.
Sometimes.
But the season before that, it took me like 11 events.
Yeah, it just
to
depends.
Win one.
Like, it depends a lot on who you're playing in top eights, how the matchups break down. It's not always as easy as just like use this one special trick and now you will win all your quarterfinal and semifinal and final matches, right? Like,
yeah.
It's I think mostly just about continuing to stay focused and playing good Magic. Like,
it's also about not getting in a trap in your mind. So there's like lots of traps you can fall into in a top eight. The first one and the biggest one that I feel like everyone goes through this is feeling like a top eight is an accomplishment.
Well, and it can be for a period, right? Like, it's really cool when you are doing that kind of stuff for the first time, but eventually, you know, you get crushed in a few quarters and semis in a row, and you're like, okay, all right, I'm kind of over this.
And this listener is clear to the point where they're top eighting events, so now it's like, all right, now that you're at this point, it's time to stop feeling like it's an accomplishment. It's okay for your first one to feel like an accomplishment because it is an accomplishment. So I kind of want to go over a few things here. That's the first point. And to speak to that point, there was a tournament where it was the so the Utah Magic Invitational Series had ended, and they were doing the first Magic Open in the Magic Open Series. So it wasn't called the Utah Magic Open Series. It was just called the Magic Open Series. And it was, I don't know, like a 90-person event at the Red Lion Hotel in Salt Lake. And Alex Sittner and I, he's one of the guys on our testing team, we got paired in round one, and we were like, do you want to just draw? Because he was playing a deck that wanted to be in the draw bracket, and I wanted to play against control decks with my deck. And we were like, yeah, why not? And it was a couple of rounds later, and I was like, how are you doing? And he told me, and I was like, oh, awesome. So we both have like three rounds to go, or I don't remember how many rounds it was, but he was like, well, no, it's six rounds to go. And I was like, what? No, it's three rounds to top eight, man. He's like, yeah, but I don't care about getting top eight. I want to win.
Right. I think it's like once you're kind of over like the, okay, I know I can top eight. I don't really need to prove to other people that I'm okay. It's just like,
but that was a moment for me that, and I have used those exact same words with multiple people.
Sure.
You know, people have come up to me at events and they've said, you know, Spencer, you know, you're 3-0 right now, like one more to go. And I was like, no, I have potentially five more rounds to go.
Sure. I think a lot of the time it's just like, just trying to play with endurance is is something I'd like to touch on a little bit too, where sometimes it's not even like a mental thing where you are letting up. It's that you're not used to playing the like fifth, sixth, seventh round. Like if a lot of your play comes in like sporadic Magic Online play and then FNMs, stuff like that, you might just be used to playing, you know, three, four, five rounds, and when you're getting into the sixth, seventh, and eighth round, it's a little bit tougher to stay focused, to keep on top of things and keep playing good Magic.
Yeah.
I certainly noticed that, like, that's a thing that I definitely find happens a lot at, like, GPs. You run into people who later in day one just aren't quite ready to really play nine rounds of Magic at a high level in the same day. And even though they clearly understand, you know, their deck and what they're trying to do, they'll just make sort of crazy little mistakes that are mostly about being tired.
Yeah.
And I think that trying to like recognize that that's happening to you and work on sort of endurance, as weird as that sounds as a Magic player, makes is one thing I might try.
Yeah, I would say that the reason that I didn't cash GP Portland was 100% because of endurance. Like, I was extremely tired day one and audible decks because of how tired I was. And then, like, day two, I just was a mess.
Yeah, it's funny, but you'd be surprised at how much of a difference it makes when you are feeling a little bit fresher versus when you've really slogged through a lot. So that could come down to maybe, like, on a day you're more tired, looking at playing a deck that's a little bit less taxing.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of things you can do to address this, trying to play like two Magic Online leagues back to back sometimes to try to
the food
to figure out
also can, like, don't go greasy, because like You just don't want to be in a food coma.
It's about trying to figure out what's holding you back, yeah. right? What be that?
The other things that I'd like to touch on this question are, there are two more things that I find that really happen to people to like bog them down in top eights. The first one is, don't trap yourself. So for example, Casey lost in like 7 finals in a row in PBDQs at one point, and he's like, I'm never going to win one. Like, this is just never going to happen. And he's like, that's a terrible mindset. I like need to get out of this mindset. How do I get out of this mindset? And it's hard. It's like, what do you do? But, you know, after Pro Tour Origins, you know, I had, you know, where I, in my last X number of rounds, I had mulliganed like 13 times or something. I don't remember. I'm probably exaggerating, but I kept tracking it throughout after the Pro Tour. And like for the next month, like, every mulligan was a confirmation bias, right? It was like, oh, I'm so unlucky. Like, I mulliganed again. And when you're in top eights and you're like, well, I'm just going to lose in the quarters because I always lose in the quarters. I'm so unlucky. That's a bad mindset to go into. And it will not be apparent to you until you've lost. But, like, it's not a great mindset to go into. I mean,
your opponents literally are gaining an advantage over you if you are being negative about your chances before you even start, because you're like looking to lose. I mean, I don't mean that, like, you know, you'll lightning bolt yourself rather than your opponent when you're both at 3, but you're sort of willing to throw in the towel rather than really claw and scrape for it.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I have to say on this topic. Just so you know, if to be eligible to submit a question of the week, which we are moving to the top of the show, I've been saying for like months, I've been like, man, the beginning of the show is like a lot of sponsorship talk, and like it's really awkward.
It's good though. It's nice to get a chance to interact with people this way, and yeah. I hope that like this sort of secondary Facebook thing works a little bit easier than
which brings me to my next topic
than the patron page itself, which is sort of a clunky interface.
Not only that, but like I can't give Michael access to it. So we have created a special Facebook group for everybody that's a patron of $5 or month per or $5 per month or more, making you what we call a constructive critic. So we want you're a critic of our show. We appreciate you, and we've made a Facebook group for those people where we will give early access to anything that we have, such as decklist. Like I just posted, I'll just post decklist that I'm playing, what I'm testing. Michael, hopefully you can do the same, and we can get Danny involved and just posting like our decks.
Oh man, don't get Danny involved.
Not in constructed. He's not allowed to post constructed decks, but like anything he throws within a draft, he can post.
I wouldn't do that either. You're going to get a bunch of like sly requisitioner decks.
Oh, sure.
I
know it's
going
to be a bunch
decks of
trash, but like also I can make fun of him. It gives me chances to make fun of Danny. But yeah, becoming a patron gives you access to becoming a constructed critic at $5 a month or more. We'll give you access to that Facebook group. But really, honestly, anything starting at $1 or more per month gives you access to the Patreon feed, which will be posting these questions of the week threads. But if you want to do something like a deck doctor, that will only be eligible to people at $5 or more per month.
You're just lucky you missed the wrangle stage of Danny's Aether Revolt Limited career.
I actually did that too.
Oh, man, no. But Danny and I were just... There was a period following the Pro Tour where we were sitting in a hotel room drafting as many wrangles as we could and anything to sacrifice. It was super
powerful.
Yeah,
I drafted those decks.
Yeah. We had at one point...
It was funny because like Danny came on to Limited Time Only telling me, he's like, dude, I've been drafting wrangle decks. I'm like, dude, me too.
Yeah, there was, I vaguely remember one sequence where we went Carry Zev's expertise into Wrangle, into like attack you for 10, sack both your creatures to Defiant Salvager. It was sweet. I mean, terrible, but sweet. So, you know.
Well, let's talk really quick about our sponsored Oasis Games. You can go to oasisgamessoc.com, mtgoasis.com. And honestly, they're just the best place to buy Magic cards. I buy all my cards there. The cards that you get from Card of the Week all come from Oasis Games. We really appreciate their sponsorship. They are amazing. If you've had a great experience with the Oasis Games, I'd like to know about it. Shoot me a message on Facebook or shoot us an email to ccmtg.info@gmail.com. We want to hear about your experience. I actually would love to shoot a commercial with you for the podcast, just about your experience. So shoot me a message. I'd love to talk to you. Let's go right on to our other segment. Hashtag always improving. We believe if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And we always want to be doing what we can to improve. And Michael, I'm going to start this week. I usually let you go first, but this week I created a Google Calendar that like really helps me block out my time a little bit better, reminds me to do things, and in doing that, I realized that I don't have enough time for my family and spending time with them. And for those who don't know, if you only listen to the podcast, you might not know that I make a lot of magic content. You know, weekly deck techs, as often as I can right now, weekly testing videos. And then I do a YouTube vlog series called Wednesday Night Warrior, as well as a live podcast with Danny each week called Lumen Time Only. And I was also doing a weekly stream called Think Twice with Quentin Pierce. And I had to cancel that.
Yeah, just in blocking it out, you're looking at it like, man, I'm making magic content, like, basically every day.
Yeah, it was too much. And here's the thing, is that oftentimes in magic, I mean, Michael Hinderacher plays, like, actually too much magic. Like, factually, you play too much magic. But you are at the point in your life where you can do that. And I am not at the point in my life where I can have a full-time job, have a kid, have a wife, play as much magic as I play, consume as much magic content as I consume, and make as much magic content as I want to create. And I don't want to get burned out. Like, I want to keep doing this podcast. I want to keep doing Limited Time Only. I want to do testing videos. And I want to make good content. So I've kind of canceled the stream. I'll stream
just on a feel like it
on
basis.
A whim, yeah. But like I'm not doing a dedicated stream anymore. I can't do it.
It makes sense. Like it's a big time investment that I think generally is a less easily consumable form than like a podcast.
Right.
They don't necessarily age as well. And you know, you have to be in the same place at the same time. You have to be. I don't know. Streaming is really difficult for anyone who hasn't done that before. It really requires you to be on your game and
the right mindset. Like, yeah, it's just
it's tough.
Yeah. Here's the thing is, like, to be honest, doing my podcasts is really like a 12-hour per week investment for a few reasons. It's the podcast only takes an hour to 2 hours to record, but like there's prep. If I actually have to be playing Magic, otherwise I would make terrible content. There's a lot of things going on, so I'm trying to get better at time management and communicating with my wife and spending time with my kid, and if I had done the stream today, I would have gotten maybe 2 hours less with my wife because I went shopping with her today, and I just wouldn't have had that time had I done that. So
yeah, it seems like a pretty reasonable concession to burn out to me.
Exactly. And I want to keep doing this, so I don't want to get burnt out. What about you? What have you done to be hashtag always improving this week?
I was going to talk about kind of the same thing. Just avoiding burnout. So, like, you know, we played GP this weekend in Orlando. Got to hang out with Paul and Vinny and Danny a bunch, which was sweet. Paul was very kind and picked me up from the airport at like 5 a.m. on Friday morning.
Boom.
Yeah.
Also, I think Paul listens to the show, so shout out to Paul.
So it was really awesome. We had a really good time. We got to ride airboats and on Friday and see some alligators. And
oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, and then we went mini golfing on Saturday during our buys after building our pools because Vinny didn't have buys, so we had to be there early. So we like just built our pools and then went mini golfing. And then on Monday, we went to the beach because our flight was not until later in the evening. It was just really nice. Like we had a really... really kind of nice, relaxing trip, despite the fact that, you know, we all sort of flamed out.
Did you see I like how you say that. Like, I think Danny literally got a pro point. It just didn't matter. He might have gotten two pro points.
Well, I mean, he finished 11 for he top 64'd. It just doesn't help him. He's just in the spot where the only thing that
so
does
he
anything
cashed,
is a 12-3.
But it doesn't, like...
Yeah, he has to get a 12-3.
Yeah.
And, like, I felt like... getting to do some other fun things kind of brightened up my weekend, despite, you know, I
actually did a video on marriage and magic for Wednesday Night Warrior 2 weeks ago. I don't know if you got to see that, but I actually talked about this. I was like, listen, when you're going to a GP, One of the things that I like about the GPs that we go to, right, is like we make an active effort to, I mean, if Alex and I are there, we make an effort, active effort to like find the best restaurants, have mm-hmm. good food, right? And honestly, like if you don't day two or like things aren't going your way or you have time, like there are tons of things to do. Like you can go to concerts, you went mini golfing, you went on an airboat, right?
We had a good time. Like I set expectations very high for myself and I was disappointed in my finish, but at the same time, I think just trying to take a step back a little bit and say like,
you're traveling the world.
I'm going to have fun. I'm going to have fun with it. You know, yeah. Like if you can only have fun when things are going perfectly, you're not going to be a very fun person to be around and you're probably not going to be very happy. So we had a good weekend despite some struggles and I really enjoyed that.
Well, let's move on to our next segment. Every week on the show, we will do a power rankings. This week with the GP San Antonio, lots of people, you're probably going for Unified Modern. And so what I want to talk about is the modern decks that are the current top five decks today. But, you have different decks.
Yeah.
That's more up to date, isn't it?
It is. It's that MTGO stats updates in a tighter time window than
I think you're right.
Goldfish
does. I'm going to pull that up. But I want to talk about modern and like what's going on in modern today. And I want to use Modo at this time. Because with a GP next week, it's going to represent like what people are trying a little bit more in you. Because like we can go over the things that are doing well in tournaments like we typically do in power rankings, right?
Right.
And rank the decks. But if you're preparing for Unified Modern next week, people are probably playing different spins on modern decks on Modo.
Unified is weird too in that like it really forces you to try to find some weird stuff that you like. Normally, you're just kind of like, oh, it's modern. I can just play Abzan or Jund or whatever, right? It like locks you into familiarity, whereas trying to play Unified, it is a nightmare trying to find three decks that you like that can be played together. It's like legitimately really, really difficult.
So I've also changed my mind. So I'm sure you guys are locked in on decks, but I've decided what my three decks would be.
We're not locked in, but whatever.
I would play Abzan, Titan Shift, and Affinity.
Interesting. I think right now we are leaning Ad Nauseam, Bant Eldrazi, and Death Shadow.
Esper Shadow, right?
Probably just Jund.
Oh, interesting. You guys, okay.
There's actually less overlap with Jund. I wouldn't mind playing Dredge if Death Shadow Jund doesn't end up being where we want to be. But I think Ban Eldrazi is like really solid. Really good Eldrazi Tron matchup. Really good Jund Death Shadow matchup. I think generally just reasonable. I think the Death Shadow aggro deck is pretty reasonable. It's honestly mostly about... It's just about finding three decks you are okay with. More than anything. It's an interesting format right now, and it's in an interesting place. Things are pretty different than they have been for a little bit.
Let's start with the number five deck we have coming in at 4%. We have Affinity. I need to go back and kind of put a bow on this a little bit. So the reason that we're doing MTGO results is because I believe that people are now testing heavily for Unified Modern. So these will represent the things that people are trying out to give you an idea of like what you might expect.
Yeah, and Unified definitely pushes the envelope a little bit in terms of like what people have to try, because I have played against some weird stuff in the last couple of weeks grinding Modern Leagues, because people are trying, you're trying to find decks that don't need like Thoughtseize specifically, right? Because you're probably going to play some Death Shadow variant. That deck needs like, Thoatseize and Inquisition fetch lands.
Can I play Abzan and then give Lightning Bolt to another deck? Can I play... What can I do here? Am I forced into decks like Affinity and Merfolk because they share very little cards? Like,
right. And if so, how do you find, how do you build against these strategies, right?
Right. Yep.
It's interesting.
So coming in at number five, we do have Affinity. This is a modern deck that towards the end of last year, have made an effort to play a ton of. I have become pretty efficient with this deck. I honestly I believe this deck is the good affinity players can beat hate cards after playing this deck a ton.
It's a solid deck. My biggest issue with this is that I do not really like the Death Shadow Jund matchup. And I believe that this weekend especially, you are going to be playing against a lot of Kolaghan's Commands, Ancient Grudges.
I actually disagree. I think that you would have to get pretty unlucky to play against that deck a ton because you have three tables. So you're significantly less likely to play against that deck than if everyone could play the deck.
I think that deck will be 25% of the decks in the room. I think it will be on three out of four teams.
Right, but you also have to line up against that member of the team.
Right, but I think it's on 75% of teams. So I think you're playing it... Right, so 25% is a way bigger metagame representation than any modern deck will have in an individual
tournament. But I don't know that that's true, because I think that Jund Death Shadow, or Death Shadow variants at large, would have been like 80% of the... Well, probably not.
No, that's the thing. It's actually much more, and as you get towards the top tables, I think that it becomes more, not less, homogenized.
I don't know, man. I feel like you have to get super unlucky to play against that deck a bunch.
I mean, I think you'll play against it about a third of the time.
Or, okay.
Which is a lot. I mean, my issue is that because Affinity doesn't share any cards, it is a real easy target.
Yeah, okay. But outside of that, because we're also doing power rankings.
I mean, it's just good. There's a reason that you have to play hate cards for this deck. It's because if you don't play hate cards, you're not beating it.
Yeah.
Right? It's
where do you land on like the Master of Aetherium Edge Champion argument, and also where do you land on Galvanic Blast and
Thoughtcast? I think most people are leaning pretty hard on Galvanic Blast these days. I'm a big fan of Master of Aetherium, actually. Really good against Stony Silence, which I would expect to play against a ton of this weekend. It's so hard to say. It's like all of these decisions have some marginal costs, right? Like playing Masters and Galvanic Blasts in the same deck has a cost. Playing, you know, fewer Etch Champions makes you weaker against Kolaghan's Command, that kind of stuff. They're just like exactly how you build your deck. There are slight costs to it, and I haven't played enough Affinity to be exactly sure, like, the perfect 75 that I would like.
Let me read you my current list, because like I said, I actually actively play this deck a lot right now.
So just where do you come down on the slots that are debated, right? Because I mean, everyone's playing 4 Cranial Plating, everyone's playing 4 Mox Opal.
Yeah, so I have 1 Thoughtcast, I have 2 Master of Aetherium, and I have 1 Edge Champion in the main deck.
Okay, and then you're trimming a Memnite basically for...
No, I think 3 Memnite slot is pretty universal right now, actually.
Okay.
I also have 4 Galvanic Bombardment, if I'm not mistaken.
Galvanic Blast.
Galvanic Blast, thank you. Where am I? Maybe, yeah, I have 4 Galvanic Blast. One thing that I don't like about the deck... So, I actually really don't like... a lot of people like play a lot of Etch Champion in the main, and I really don't like that.
I don't like it as much in game ones. I think I like it more in boarded games,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So I have 2 more Etch Champions in the board.
Which is also why I'm not a huge fan of Thoughtcast. Like, my thought is, especially in a metagame like this where I think it promotes a lot of linear deck building, I just want the most kill-em-dead version of Affinity in game
but
one.
But what would you play over that Thoughtcast? So the reason that it's the card in my deck is because, like, it's good in a large percentage of matchups, but, like, I don't want that many of them. It's never terrible, and... Like, I think it's better than the Memnite, basically. And I also think it's better than the second Etch Champion in the main, probably.
That might be true. My thought with that is that you might have to play, like, more Spire. You might have to play, like, a Spire Glimmer Void split to support...
I'm not playing any Spires.
Right, but I think you to really support... Like, playing a basic Mountain is going to be tough if you want to play Thoughtcast Double Master plus Galvanic Blast.
So you have 4 Mox Opal, 4... Oh, if you want to play 2 Thoughtcast?
Well, no, if you're playing, like, 2 Master plus a Thoughtcast.
Oh,
like,
I see what you're saying.
Like, just that there's a cost to building your deck this way, and, like, I'm not sure what's correct.
I actually hadn't thought about putting in Spire.
So a lot, yeah, a lot of people are...
Because I haven't had mana problems, but that might be fine.
A lot of people are running some
kind of a split.
Oh, that's
so bad. I'm, like, looking at that mana base, and it's, like, the same as mine, only worse.
So a lot of people are playing, like, less Glimmer Voids with 1 or 2 Spires. Some people are playing Welding Jar. There's This is the kind of deck where I feel like to really be able to talk about exactly what list you like, so much of it just comes from you have to know what cards are in your deck and what cards you like and how you play around hate.
I also really hate Welding Jar, which is something that you might notice is not included in my deck list. And I'll post my my affinity deck that I'm playing right now in the show notes for people, so we don't have to like read the list out loud. But I do think that like there's a large percentage of people that like one or two Welding Jar in the main deck, and I just think that's I think it's not good right now. So
yeah,
see, that person's all the way down to two Memnite, so
very similar. They're also they're on the two Master, three Champion. They're all playing three Mox Opal.
This
so
list is just bad.
I don't know what they're doing.
But
that's the thing. I think when you're playing these decks where it's a great archetype, but you need to know how you feel in these matchups, right? You need to decide what cards am I worried about, what cards beat these, right? If you're expecting a lot of Kolaghan's Commands, it makes a lot of sense to me to have a ton of Etch Champions.
Coming up next, we have Abzan coming in with 5% of the decks. Here's the thing. Two thoughts on this. One, it has a really good Jund-Death Shadow matchup. Really good being the best Jund-Death Shadow matchup. Not actively, like, amazing. And two, it's a deck that doesn't... It lets you play Jund without playing Lightning Bolt.
Yeah, the biggest issue with this deck... Like, I think this is probably the best fair deck in Modern right now. The biggest issue with it is that this deck is incredibly difficult to play in Unified.
So, this list is the list that you have pulled up because... You know, you're taking Inquisition and Thoughtseize, Fatal Push,
Hierarchs
from like a lot of decks.
Yeah,
there are certainly ways that you can build this deck that doesn't take Hierarch, that doesn't take Fatal Push.
It's mostly if you're going to take Fatal Push, Path, Inquisition, Thoughtseize, Abrupt Decay, Lingering Souls, both Liliana's, Tarmogoyf.
There's probably not a way where you don't take a Liliana, Path to Exile. It makes you wonder, like, here's my thought. When you look at this deck and you're preparing for Team Unified Modern, are you saying, I'm going to play this in the best version that I possibly can because I'm going to play against a lot of Jund, Death Shadow, and then I'm just going to play Merfolk and
Tron or something?
Yeah,
you have to stick this with two decks that, like, don't want magic cards, right? This deck can go with, you can play, like, Affinity and Merfolk or Affinity and Tron, but it has to be, like...
You couldn't play
Affinity and Eldrazi Tron, but you can't
play
Ad
Nauseam. You can't play Bant Eldrazi. So people are trying to find, like, the best version of this deck?
You could play Ad Nauseam, I believe.
Can you?
Yes, that deck doesn't play any Fetch or Shock lands, typically.
But doesn't it typically play Thoughtseize?
I think Duress would be very, very nearly as good.
Okay.
Like, the cards you're trying to take are generally not.
We're in an interesting spot in Modern where I've always thought this deck was really good, but it's always been, like... I just always felt like it was worse than Jund, but I actually think it's better than Jund right now.
I think it's a lot better than Jund right now.
Yeah.
This deck has gotten like an insane amount of kind of fringy cards, but it used to always be that like Path had a pretty big downside compared to Lightning Bolt, and now Fatal Push is just kind of better than both.
Yes.
It's gotten like an extra Liliana that's pretty good with all these extra creatures.
Yeah, being able to split your Lilianas in this deck is like
it's really powerful.
It likes both of them because of Grimflare. I think this deck has a lot of things. Also, to all of the listeners, when I posted my Abzan deck like a year ago, and they were like, "I can't believe you're playing Noble Hierarch. This card is terrible." And I was like, "No, trust me." Like,
it depends on what you are looking for. I think it's good right now because Modern has sort of pushed so aggressive. I mean, even the other fair decks are like. I mean, when you look at, like, Death Shadow Jund, right, it's, like, a sort of fair deck, but sometimes it just, like, kills you. Like, oh, well, that was awkward. I was just trying to get set up here. I got Thoughtseize twice and then got my face bashed in by an 8-8. That wasn't really a very fair game of Magic at all. And I think that, like, playing lower to the ground, some mana acceleration, this deck just lines up really well. You have a ton of removal. You can play Nihil Spellbomb. You can play... really good sideboard cards out of white. Gideon is great in the board of this deck.
I actually don't hate a one of Sorum Solemn Visitor in this deck either. especially if you're playing a little bit of Mana Ramp in the form of Noble Hierarch.
Yeah, I think people have mostly gone to Gideon just because the clock is so quick that it improves some of your unfair matchups a lot.
Yeah, but
and
the,
like,
the lifelink is insane.
But I think that they don't want it for those matchups. I think a lot of it is for the matchups where they're kind of trying to combo you and you're playing a 7-7 for 4, essentially. Right? And if you can ramp it out with a Noble Hierarch or whatever, it can kind of get there on its own. Like, against, like, Titan Shift, any deck where you just have to race, Gideon is really good at racing.
Here's the thing, though. Like, if I played a Gideon in this deck, I would just want the emblem.
So, but I think it's the versatility, right? It's that, like, it can be its own threat in grindy matchups, so you probably can bring it
in. What's the difference, though? Like, real conversation. So, if I have a Sorin, right? And I have a Siege Rhino in play, right? What's the difference between having an extra 5/5 attacking and having the extra 5 life?
It depends on the matchup.
The swing is the same.
The swing is the same, but if you're playing, like, if you're going to get Ugin'd, right? One kills them
but
dead.
But does it matter? Because, like, that's, how do you, you're not going to beat an Ugin'd either way.
Gideon helps. Like, Gideon, Fulminator, Surgical is a plan.
But, like, does it actually represent that different of a clock?
It does. I mean, 2/2, 5/5, 5/5, 5/5.
You're going to get Ugin'd on turn 4 or 5 anyway.
Sure, but I mean, it makes a Fulminator or a Thoughtseize potentially good enough to get there, whereas Sorin just doesn't put as much power on the board. I mean, I think that's basically it.
Okay.
I think this deck is just good in the, if your opponent's like playing creatures and trying to attack you, just doesn't go that well for them.
Well, Burn's a really bad matchup for Jund in general, Jund-style deck, so Sorin locks up that matchup where Gideon actually doesn't help you very much there.
It's true. I don't know that Burn is especially good right now. I think that's the bigger...
These power rankings don't have... Like, the power rankings on the other website have Burn at, like, the number 3 deck. But I think people have figured out that, like, Burn actually isn't that good against Death Shadow.
Well,
or they thought it was. So.
The problem is the card Collective Brutality is just insane. It's super hard to beat.
I want to talk about that for Unified, but let's go on to the next deck that we have, which is coming in at number 3. We have Grixis, Death Shadow. I am a little surprised at this, but not surprised at this. So I have played a lot of... The decks that I've been playing in Modern now are Merfolk, Jund Shadow, Grixis Shadow, Bug Shadow, and Affinity. Those are, like, the decks that I've been trying out. And I have a lot of thoughts. One of my first thoughts is, Culligan's Command is, like, a reason to play red in this deck. It is the actual reason.
I think also Bolt, like, Bolt Snap Bolt is... Has always been good, will always be good, right? That's
not,
just good.
Not as important in this deck as Culligan's Command.
Sure, no,
is.
I mean, Culligan's Command is great, but if you're just looking at, like, what one mana spell do I get, and I'm playing Snapcaster anyways.
So if there's a reason to play Jund and Grixis, it's Culligan's Command after some testing. However, I actually think the real power is in the blue decks is actually Snapcaster Mage. And if I'm playing a one mana spell, I'd rather just be playing Traverse the Uvenwald so far in my testing.
Well, I think that the idea here is that probably preference for Gurmag Angler and Tasigur over Tarmogoyf. If I had to get, like, why people would choose this deck over Bug, you have more spells that affect the board early, like Lightning Bolt costing 1.
The real reason they want to play this deck is so they can play Serum Visions, Thought Scour, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, that stuff is good. What I like about this deck is that you can probably... It just seems really adaptable, right? Like, you see a lot of cards. You're not very linear compared to the other Death Shadow decks. I think
the Bug version is the most linear.
So what I was going to say about Bug is that I think Bug is probably the best Stubborn Denial deck of all of them, and if you decide that Stubborn Denial is great, which I also assume is one of the reasons you love Bug as an admitted Stubborn Denial deck lover.
I was like, real talk, this deck plays Stubborn Denial in, like, a real way. So I love blue cards, but I love them with my green cards. Here's the thing. Tasker and Gurmag Angler are basically green cards. It is not hard to convince me to play this deck.
It's pretty similar to the Bug version, honestly.
It really is. The thing is that I, like,
I mean, I can see why this deck is good. It puts threats on the board, and then it's pretty resilient, right? You're, like, not that bad against Fatal Push, because Tasker and Gurmag Angler make Fatal Push look stupid.
Yeah. It also probably, like, let's say that you wanted to, let's go on to Unified, because one of the reasons we're doing this is to help people with their Unified decks for this weekend. You could easily just replace Lightning Bolt so you want to play Burn, you could just play Tarfire in this list instead and probably not be too upset.
Or just cut it completely for more, like, Stubborn Inquisitions and Stubborn Denials.
Yeah,
or more Kolaghan's Commands. I mean, I don't know that I'd play Tarfire in a deck with no incentive to do so.
Yeah, I guess you don't actually have Tarmogoyf, so you're just pumping theirs.
Yeah, but, you know, like, you could play, like, a Terminate, an Inquisition, and a Stubborn Denial and be fine.
Yep.
I just think this style of deck is very good.
We're going to get to another style.
Yeah, it's good at using Death Shadow without being so much about Death Shadow that it really struggles when Death Shadow isn't powerful. I mean, the secret is that Death Shadow is always powerful.
Yeah. Coming in at number two, we have Dredge. Honestly, man, like,
look at those results from the mocks.
Yeah.
This deck had, like, seven people at 6-2 or better.
Yeah, the deck is... people are not prepared for it as much as they should be. See, honestly, people don't seem to realize that Surgical Extraction is a card, and they are playing... So, this is my opinion. You've actually played Dredge, but, like, I feel like I just want Surgical Extraction in my deck against this deck. To let me play to the board more often.
So Surgical is fine. The problem is basically that unless you have double Surgical, or you have to have dedicated cards for Dredge. If you just think, like, you know, two Surgicals or whatever.
That's a good point.
Because this is the thing. People don't, it's not like, no one's sideboarding four Surgicals, right? They're sideboarding, like, two Surgicals and a Relic or a Nihil Spellbomb, and you're just like, sure.
So here's my thought. It's like, I need some amount of main deck hate against this deck, and then I need... I actually think Surgicals is, like, a great answer, and then there has to be other stuff. So, for example, like, Casey and I were big advocates of, like, all right, you just actually should be playing main deck Anger of the Gods for a little while in the decks that can afford it, because, like, how it's doobie this deck. I think that, like, Surgical is better than, like, a lot of the things people are trying to do. Because, honestly, like, once they don't have Prized Amalgam, you don't care about this deck nearly as much.
Not as much, but you'd be surprised at all the games you get cheesed out. The real issue is you will never beat this deck trying to play Fair Magic. If your plan is to, like, play creatures to the board, it's not going to be good enough.
Scape Shift Fair Magic?
Scape Shift... can main deck Anger the Gods, so that matchup is, like, sort of close?
Is Affinity Fair Magic?
I mean, I would say Affinity is unfair, but Affinity really hates the card Narcomoeba, so it's sort of in a unique position. I mean, this deck's Affinity matchup is a joke. It's just not even kind of close.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the reasons to play this.
It's actually one of the matchups where you board in the 3-mana enchantment.
You would board in
you, tap two artifacts.
Aether Grid?
Yeah, you actually board in Aether Grid against this deck, which is weird because, like, that's how bad the matchup is.
I mean, I was talking to Matt about it yesterday, and he was at the point where he was thinking Affinity maybe should be boarding in Blood Moon because the only way they can actually win is by cheesing you out. And I think that's basically true. Like, post-board, you're looking at, like, Ancient Grudges, Dark Blasts, Abrupt Decays, Conflagrates, Narcomoeba, but, like... just casting Stinkweed Imp is a problem.
Yeah, I actually think Dark Blast is, like, really good against Affinity.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, they just, this deck is
haunted dead. Oh my gosh, I can actually buy this deck on Moto with right now. I'm probably just going to do that.
It was, like, I bought it before GP Vancouver and ran it through a league and 5-0'd losing one game to triple Leyline of the Void. And then, but I bought the deck for, I think, $60 at that point, and it's now $150.
Yeah, I'm actually...
it just keeps
creeping
up.
I'm actually going to buy this.
It's really dumb. Like, the deck is just as stupid as you think it is, and people think for some reason that, like, not having Golgari Grave Troll, so it's worse than it was before, But
it's
like,
not, that's not true. Hold on. Time out. It's not worse. It has less.
It's a worse Goldfish deck.
Yeah,
right?
It's the games that you would typically win with this deck, you still typically win with this deck.
That's the thing. You get less insanely busted 10 power on turn 2.
Now
games.
It's the Cathartic Reunion on turn 2 doesn't always win you the game.
It still always wins you the game if your opponent's plan is to, like, there are so many times where my opponent would be like, turn 2 Scavenging Ooze, and I'd be like, yeah, put 8 power into play. Good luck.
Coming in at number 1, we have Jund Deathshadow. So
it's at 11% right now, which is insane for Modern.
Yeah, it's playing. I have so many opinions. Here's the thing, is I believe there is probably a 0% chance that the current iteration of Death Shadow is the best iteration of Death Shadow. When those guys discovered, whoever the Moto player was that, like, was doing well with Death Shadow, and then the CFB and those pros adopted it, like, they have changed Modern, and despite what many people think, I think it might be for the better.
I actually think Death Shadow is a really sweet card. It's a very fair card. Like, there are real deck building costs to playing Death Shadow.
I actually am okay with this being the best deck in Modern.
Like, I think the games are almost always fun and interactive.
Yeah, I have never enjoyed... That's not true. But it's been a long time since I've loved Modern. I've been playing a lot of Modern lately. I'm really, really enjoying it. And I'm also not always playing Death Shadow decks. Like Merfolk is in an interesting place right now. I think it's pretty well positioned. I think that depending on which Death Shadow version deck you're playing against, Affinity's interesting deck, and it beats up on the decks that are, like, trying to beat up on this deck. Tron is in an interesting place where it's like, where you would consider banning Tron, but, like, I actually think Tron is terrible against Death Shadow, so, like, it's keeping a deck that's, like, unfun in check. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. You just took Jund and you figured out a way to make it pretty good against the big mana decks, and here we are, right? I mean, this deck is just Jund, but they made it more linear. But the sweet thing about this deck is that, like, so pre-board, right, you're basically just casting a ton of Tarmogoyfs. Like, your Death Shadows are secretly Tarmogoyfs. Your Tarmogoyfs are Tarmogoyfs. Your Traverse the Ulvenwald are Tarmogoyfs. You're playing 4 Mishra's Baubles so that you can get more Tarmogoyfs and your Tarmogoyfs are bigger. You're basically just, like, Tarmogoyf the theme deck. But the cool thing about this deck is that post-board, like, a bunch of people are sideboarding in Lingering Souls, Ranger of Eos, Fulminator Mages, like...
I actually want to talk about this. I believe that what will happen is this deck will get broken, and I believe it will be the version of the deck that gets to... I actually think it will be Bug Splash White for whoever figures out how to play Orzhov Charm in the main deck... In the, like, whatever the best Orzhov Charm in the main deck that isn't a white version of the deck will be the best deck.
To be fair, you could also just play Snapcaster Mage and Stubborn Denial and Jund, basically. Like, it.
But I don't think that's what you. I actually don't. Like, the benefit of red is actually Kolaghan's Command, and Snapcaster Mage gives you a better version of that.
So, oddly, the real reason that I want to be able to not play Tarmogoyf in this deck is to not play Mishra's Bauble. Because Mishra's Bauble is terrible. It is, like, worse than Tarfire by a lot, which is hard to believe.
Oh, man, I actually disagree with you completely. I think that it's what lets you play so few lands. Because, like, I don't want to be playing... I think Serum Visions is actively terrible, and I don't want my 4 Mishra's Baubles to be Serum Visions.
They can be anything. I'd be much happier playing an extra land or even two. Mishra's Bauble is just...
No,
it's
that's
an
how
abomination.
You lose.
No, you lose when you have to wait on cards from Mishra's Bauble.
Every time
you top deck Mishra's Bauble, it's just so bad. You just time walked yourself.
Well,
but I mean, I think that the shell is really strong. And basically, what people have figured out, right, is that, like, if you're gonna play fetch lands, you can just jam Street Wraith and Death Shadow in a deck and just fetch shock yourself a bunch, and that's, like, a real strategy.
Yeah, one thing that
it's kind of sweet. Right?
No,
that, like, you
I'm,
can just
I'm,
play.
I'm actually, like, quite in love with this Modern format. What does that say about me as a player? I don't know.
That you like cool things. This deck is cool.
So here's the thing is the old Death Shadow deck sucked. It was like not that cool, not that fun.
Oh, but come on now. That deck was great.
No, but these decks are interesting and have interactive gameplay. And the mirror is like really fun. No matter which color combination you're playing, like the mirror is super interactive and fun. And you're like, we did a testing video with Bug versus Bant. And like a matchup that like that you would think is totally not interactive was super interactive and fun.
Yeah, I think that in general these decks are just they're like fair decks except when they're playing against like Tron and Scapeshift variants, and then they're combo decks in those matchups, right? You're like trying to like land destruction, Thoughtseize. I mean, the joke always, right, was that the combo was Thoughtseize, Tarmogoyf, Liliana. These decks are just better at doing that.
Yeah. So what would you play Modern and why? And then also, what would your three team event decks be?
Well, I mean,
so two questions. You have to answer both.
If I was just playing by myself, I would play Dredge because I think that deck is great and I think people don't respect it. I think all your Death Shadow matchups are heavily favored. I just generally find that deck to be really powerful and pretty a good mix of easy to play in certain games and challenging and interesting in others. As far as Unified Modern, like, it's hard for me to say anything other than Bant Eldrazi Ad Nauseam and Jund Death Shadow right now. But, you know, ask me again in 24 hours, right? That's sort of the beauty of trying to pick three decks at once.
That's also you. So I've just been playing so much Modern lately. So I believe in what Bug Death Shadow is doing, but I really, really want to be able to put white in there for a few reasons. One, Lingering Souls out of the board is like pretty insane. Ranger of Eos also out of the board is pretty insane. Two, I believe that like two main deck, Orzhov Charm is like key, so I want to figure out like how to fit white into this deck at a reasonable amount, and that's where I would be in Modern right now. I don't know what that looks like. I haven't tested it yet, but that is where I would be. In team, I think that there you have to I think that it's about a strategy. I don't hate the idea of playing Ad Nauseam, but I think that you are going to win a significant number of games by playing Merfolk. So one of my decks would be Merfolk. I think one of them would be a Death Shadow deck. And then I don't know what the other one would be. If those were my two first decks, what would you pick?
So
as my
Merfolk
third deck?
And Death Shadow?
Yeah. It gives you a lot of options picking Merfolk.
So what color Death Shadow do you want to play? Because, like,
yeah. So if you play Jund, you get to play Bant Eldrazi.
Uh-huh.
So that could probably be my three. That might be my three, actually.
I think Bant Eldrazi is just solid, and I think more than people think it does reward good play. It's a lot of just mulliganing correctly, but that's, you know, I think typically an underappreciated skill.
All right, so that is a very in-depth look at Team Unified Modern from our perspective. And just Modern overall. Leave a comment. Let us know what you think, what you guys would have as your Team Unified decks, and what you guys think about Modern as a whole right now, and what you think of Death Shadow. Please let us know. We'd be happy to hear about it.
So my thought, just to dig in a little bit deeper, I like playing at least one white deck, because both Rest in Peace and Stony Silence seem like cards I want access to.
I actually agree with that. That is one of the reasons my third deck, it would be banned.
Just to clarify, like, and not having to fight for those is powerful. Like, having two decks that want that stuff can be bad, but when it's only one that wants it, it's really nice and clean.
Also, Merfolk, one of the reasons that I like Merfolk is in Team Unified is because, like, it wants cards that people just don't actually care about, right? Like, Got Shot out of the board, like,
right, and like you can play like Relics, right? But like
just
the
things
stuff
that nobody
want,
else
right,
even cares about.
You're not fighting over anything. There are no compromises.
And not only that, but like honestly, Merfolk is like a tier 1.5 deck that it's really good. Like, it's really, really good. And you're getting a lot of free wins from people who just, like, we kind of talked earlier about going into a top eight with, like, a bad mindset. When you play a curse catcher or something like that, there are a lot of people that are like, ah, free win. And you're like, no, dude. Like, you're dead in three turns or four turns. Like, yeah. You're done.
I think your Death Shadow matchup is, like, pretty good.
Oh, it's pretty decent. It's favored.
It's,
I think it's slightly in Merfolk's favor. Like,
I've played that matchup three or four times, but it certainly felt like, especially, like, Marrow Regery, that card was kind of insanely powerful in that matchup. Master of Waves, also really hard to beat.
All right, well, let's move on to our next segment. It's the most important segment of the show. Every week we do a Training Grounds. So we talk about something that's going to help you get better at Magic and life in general. And if you apply this episode, it probably does both.
Definitely.
You know what would be interesting? Mason, if you're listening, if you cut the Training Grounds into a completely separate thing, that would be interesting for YouTube.
Yeah, I have no idea if that's the kind of thing that's appealing to people, but it certainly does.
Yeah, if you just want
a condensed version of the show.
If you just want to listen to the Training Grounds, that could be really interesting to people. Hit me up, Mason. Mason, by the way, is a patron of the show that happens to transfer this into YouTube content. So I'll ship him my affinity list so that he can put it in the show and like show it in like an MTG Goldfish version. So if you're ever wanting to a video version of the podcast with a little bit of editing, Mason does that, so shout out to him. But yeah, this week we're going to talk about avoiding bad influences. I want to preface this a little bit, so you'll notice my first note is like parents and their kids. So Michael, I don't know if you experienced this, but like me as a child, my parents were like, oh, you can't hang out with that person, like they're a bad influence, their family's a bad influence. And to me, it was like always super annoying as a child to be told, this person's a bad influence. I really would appreciate it if you didn't spend time with them.
No, I made good choices with my friends. My parents are always like, yeah, your friends are cool.
Yeah. I always friended the underdog.
I don't think it was until
high school my parents ever said that to me.
I'm like kind of joking, but also actually serious that I think my parents just liked all my friends.
Are your parents anything like you?
I mean, probably.
Well, like, you are... If I were to describe Michael to listeners, like, he's super laid back. Kind of just, yeah. And then also sometimes, like, a super hit of passion. Like, there are times where it's Michael just jumps into something that he, like, finds really funny or he likes a lot. And it's like an explosion of Michael. Otherwise, it's just, yeah. Or no.
Is it weird that I just want to say yeah to that? I was trying to restrain myself, but, you know.
Does that describe you pretty well?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I want to say that I think that what we're not getting to the level where we're saying avoid people that are bad influences to the point where you're like, you're not allowed to be around them. So I want to preface that. We're not your parents here. We're not saying, bad kid, don't do that. But what we're saying is...
It's like, understand who you're picking up habits from, right?
Exactly.
If someone is like constantly giving themselves easy outs to bad play and you're starting to do the same, like maybe take a step back and say,
Yeah, let's dive deep. Let's start with like what is a bad influence? So the first thing I want to talk about is negativity. There's a joke among a couple of my friends that like, oh, I got BB'd that round, meaning that my opponent just as I was getting super unlucky, my opponent was talking about every draw step he had, everything that happened to him, and everything was framed in I'm so unlucky, I'm so terrible, not even I'm so terrible. The opposite of that.
Like, look at what's happening to me.
Yeah.
Right? As if you're not.
I am a spectacle this round and this thing. And this happens at work all the time. Like, you'll work with people that are, like, let's say that you are a customer service agent. I've been a customer service agent for multiple companies on the phones, and it's.
I can't believe this person just called me. Wow.
Yeah,
look at all this.
I have the worst calls. I'm so unlucky. That's why my scores aren't as good as your scores on customer satisfaction, because I always get the worst people. And here's the honest truth is, if every time you answer a phone call as a customer service agent, you think you're going to have a terrible interaction with somebody, you're probably not in the mindset to have a very good interaction with them. And the same thing is true in magic, right? Like, if you start your round by thinking, I'm going to get mana screwed. I was playing against an opponent at a PPTQ that kept a hand of attune with ether, land. So three lands, two attune with ethers, and a Virtus Gearhulk and a is it Obnixilis? Is that the name of the Planeswalker?
Sure, the five mana black one.
Yeah. So, and then his first four plays against me were four attuned with ethers, and he's like, "I'm so unlucky," and like just complains the whole time. And at the end of the game, he's like, "Yeah, I kept a super reasonable hand of attune, three
lands, 2/5 drops."
Yeah. Like, well, and I was like, he's like, "Yeah, I could cast every spell in my hand," and I was like.
Yeah, there were two spells, right?
And
there were five drops.
Everything you said is technically true.
Well, Spencer, you need to learn that technically correct is the best kind of correct. Sometimes the only kind of correct.
But the...
Right, no, I get you. Like, it's like if you don't want to be an active participant in your own games, but instead want to disconnect yourself and just find things to complain about, like...
There are so many other things that you could be doing.
Yeah, I mean, you could just watch other people play Magic and complain about the unlucky things that happen to them. It's way cheaper.
but honestly, like, that kind of negativity is something that you probably want to avoid. You know, Michael, I went on a trip with a couple of people, and he got back, and I was like, "How was your trip?" He's like, "Dude, don't ever travel with these people." I was like, I would have never traveled with this group of people that you selected to go to this event with. Because, sure. Because first of all, like, let's put this in context. So you have a 6-hour car ride with somebody. Do you want a 6-hour car ride with somebody who is constantly telling you how unlucky they are at Magic, or tells you how terrible everything that Wizards of the Coast does, or tells you how terrible this is, or this is, or this is? Like, put it in any context, right? You probably don't want to spend 6 hours in a car with that person.
Right. It's just unpleasant. I mean, in general, I feel like being negative is a way to reduce expectations. And I get like trying to have realistic expectations. So maybe not being like, "Oh, I'm just," you know, like when I say, "Oh, we're just going to win GP San Antonio." Like, I'm clearly just messing around, right? I don't like actually believe in my heart of hearts that, "Oh man, we're just going to win." It's just
but
easy,
also,
right?
That would be great.
But at the same time, you're not like, "Oh man, I'm going to go to San Antonio and draw no lands in all my rounds. I'm never going to see a Thought-Knot Seer, and I'm going to mulligan to five every game," right? Like, no. And if you actively say that and believe it, you're giving yourself excuses for the games that you mulligan to five. And what you've done is you've just decided the game is over when you mulligan to five, right? Like, yeah. You're saying that this is why I lose. And like, I played a game in an RPGQ where I mulled to five on the play and cast turn 4 Delirium Ishkana into like turn 5 Elder Deep Fiend your lands in your upkeep, turn 6 Emrakul.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, man, that was a really good mold of 5.
I have won on a mold of 3 before in Constructed. So like,
I remember Casey telling a story about winning on, I think, turn 3 on the play on a mold of 3. It's like land Glistener Elf, Cathedral of War Rancor.
Yeah,
Rancor.
That could be true.
Right?
I'm not
I mean,
sure.
You can just like, if you, I mean, I get that you're not usually going to win on a mulligan to 5, but the point is that rather than, it's just, it's so unproductive.
No,
let's think about ways we can improve rather than.
On the flip side of this, there are multiple times where my opponents have mulliganed to 5 where I have lost. Because
you just get crushed.
Because I'm like, I like just count it as a win before the game
you
even
loosen
starts.
Up and then play
exactly.
Badly and they eke out some narrow edge. Yeah.
So don't go into anything being negative, whether that's your job, whether that's a match of Magic, or whether that's a trip or an event. The next thing that I want to talk about here is like bad advice. So you might say, like, how do you know it's bad advice until it happens to you? You kind of don't, but
I mean, it's sort of fool me once, shame on you. Fool me
twice,
shame on me.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And I think that at some point you're going to realize that somebody's giving you advice that's not helping you.
Sure, or just consistently you're finding that what they're saying is not...
contradicts, like,
your
core beliefs or your experiences or things like that. And I would say, like, avoid listening to that kind of advice. Just don't take it to heart. I like saying keep an open mind, right? I believe that every clock that's broken is right twice a day, right? So
sure.
Like, at the same time, if somebody's willing to talk, be willing to listen. But
I mean,
like,
just understand,
everything,
right?
Yeah,
if
exactly.
someone only plays, you know, I really like Austin, right? But he plays a lot of Esper. So if Austin's telling me that I should be playing like a Narset Transcendent deck, my first thought isn't, oh, Narset must be really good right now.
Yeah. So this is a good example.
Right? Like
in our team Facebook page, I was like, Austin wins a PBDQ. And I was like, so how do you beat...
How's your Mardu matchup with
Blue Black?
Mardu
matchup? He's like, really great. I board in this, and this. And he like boarded in Dispels.
Yeah, it was like, you just have to play a Kalidas with Dispel up to counter their unlicensed. It's like, oh boy.
I was like, so hold on. You board in Dispels in the matchup? And he's like, yeah, how else do you win? And I was like, but you just said the matchup was great.
Right. And, you know, and it's like, it's not like Austin is trying to sabotage you. It's like making things work for him his way. And maybe, like, it's like if Spencer is telling me to play a Rug deck with Stubborn Denial. Right? Like,
my win percentage
sure.
with Rug Stubborn Denial decks is really high.
I'm not saying your experience is wrong. I'm saying that it's probably not a good choice for me.
Sure.
Right? Like, those can be true at the same time. Something can be the right choice for someone else. Someone doesn't have to be intentionally leading you astray for you to say.
But we can both be on Bug Shadow together, man. Let me tell you.
But the point, right, is that someone, they're not lying to you. They're not necessarily being nefarious. But, like, understand if something works for them but maybe doesn't work for you.
Yeah. So one of the things that I've tried to actively do is, like, care less about, and this is hard because, like, I am a brewer at heart. Is care less about people playing my decks. So when Casey qualifies for the Pro Tour with my exact deck list, right, that's an exciting moment for me, right? But I'm not going to fault Casey if he's like, no, dude, I'm not playing green-red ramp. Like, that's not happening.
Right, and I think that's a reflection of this, right? Ultimately, you have to live with the decisions you make and, like, you know, getting into negative mindsets, listening to advice from people where you're only sort of trusting. Like, right. it sets you up to fail and it sets you up to make excuses
for
failure.
This is the flip side of that, right? Is Casey comes to me, he's like, listen, I have tried everything in this format.
And I hate everything, right?
Teach me how to play Green Red Ramp, because obviously you're winning with it. I don't like anything. I'm going to hate this deck, but at least you can teach me how to win with it, right? And that is completely different, right? That's good advice, right? It's, you know how to do this thing, teach me this thing.
But don't let your friend back you into a corner on what to play, right? Don't be like, oh, what do you think I should play? Green-red ramp. Oh, that sounds stupid. And then you play it anyways.
Right.
I mean, that's...
Which is, like, if he had come to the conclusion that he liked a Bant deck or a green-white deck or whatever he liked, he should play that instead. The other thing that, like, is poor testing. If you feel like you're not getting a lot from your testing results, either there are a few things that I would say. Confront the person, or just take a step back and, like, what are we getting out of this testing, and focus on it. Like, how can we fix these results to get a more accurate reading on a format or things that are going on? Overall, like, it's too easy to say that these results are valid because they're just matches that we played. Overall, that's not true, and you have to look at what went on in this testing. What percentage of games am I winning? What percentage of games are you winning? Are these results valid? And you have to be honest with yourself. This is true in a lot of cases. So, you know, people are going to have different approaches to things than you, and you have to validate if their approach works for you, if it doesn't work for you, if it works for multiple people, and find the things that work. And testing results are no different. You can easily find yourself in a position where you want to do this thing in testing, and this other person honestly just isn't capable of doing this thing that you want to do. For example, they might not be good at playing the control deck. So you could play like 15 games of mid-range against control, and mid-range wins all 15 of them. And you guys are like, yeah, I mean, like.
Well, and it's about understanding why, right? Like, it's okay if you're testing result, if you can look at your testing and say, okay, so we had mid-range beating control over and over and over again, but I think maybe this matchup isn't as good as I think it is because of this and this. That's cool, right? That happens all the time where you're like, I think there was something influencing our testing results, but you have to recognize that.
You know what's interesting? So for the last couple of Pro Tours, I've been like writing stuff on the whiteboard, or not really a whiteboard, it's been a window. But something that's been interesting is like, when we feel that way, we don't even write the results down. We just write good deck on like,
because ultimately you can just tell, right? You know when a deck is like winning but isn't good.
Yeah.
And it's winning because you have some card in it, or there's something good, there's some good interaction, or there's something bad about the decks you're playing against, like they're disasters. But you know when a deck is like, okay, this is real, this deck works. And when a deck is not in that territory. And I think if you're testing, especially brewing, you have to trust your gut on that a little bit. Like, don't believe results that feel wrong, right? If this matchup feels like it should be bad and you keep winning, pretty much ask that's just why. Like not a thing that actually, it's almost impossible to have a matchup that feels bad, but you always win. That's just not how Magic works.
Yeah, the next thing that I would say is like kind of avoid drama. Don't just allow drama in your life because you want this person to be your friend. This is very true in Magic. There are going to be people that... So we don't swear in this podcast, but I don't know how it says. But there's going to be people that want to just talk shit. And... Don't participate. Like, if somebody's goal at a Magic tournament is just to go up and talk crap on another person, like, the whole event is just, this person did this, this person did this, this person's a scumbag, and that's all they do every event, avoid that. Like, that's going to be true in your work life, too. If everything that this person does is to talk badly about another person at the company you work for, you probably want to avoid them.
Yeah, it just doesn't lead to good things. You just generally try to, I don't know, just understand when people are, I mean, because there are people who just really like to do that, right? And, like, you can still be casual friends, right? You can still hang around them or whatever. It's not a big deal, but just,
Let's talk about that really quick. So, the next thing we have here is just be friendly. So, even though these people might be doing, be negative, they might give you bad advice, they might, you know, have poor testing, they might cause drama in your life. Everyone is still a person. They're still a player. They're still a person that's a part of the community that you're a part of, right?
Yeah, I mean, they could still be your friend, right?
Yeah, it's you can still be nice to them, even though... So I worked at a company called Converges for a little while for doing customer service for Chrysler. So I was a level 2 or 3 Chrysler customer service agent. So I was a liaison between the dealerships and the people who owned the cars and had warranties and stuff, right? So basically my job was to like make sure that the dealerships were honoring the warranties that Chrysler and them had agreed to. And there was a guy there that was terrible at his job, always negative, gave bad advice, also caused a lot of drama. And, you know, I don't know that I ever had a negative interaction with him where I was like ever rude to him.
Sure, but it's about recognizing like... I don't want to be like him.
Yeah. Right. In fact, it might be the opposite, right? It might be, I don't ever want to turn into this guy.
Right now I'm acting like this guy. Right. I need to get my crap together and turn it around.
But I would never, ever let myself treat him like less of a person because of these things. So while we're actively telling you to avoid having these bad influences in your life and letting them affect you, at the same time, those bad influences, they're also people.
Well, I think it's less about like not interacting with people in this manner, but more just like understanding that you don't want to be a negative person giving bad advice. Right. Yeah. It's like things to avoid in yourself and things to avoid when other people are dishing them out. But, you know, it happens. Everyone's negative sometimes. I'm sure we've all given bad advice occasionally. Right.
Yeah. I think it's just, you know, you need to frame your interactions with people in a positive way. Do what you can to just be the best person that you can be, and also be the most positive person, and be the person that you want them to be towards you. The next point we want to talk about is the kind of content that you consume. So there are types of content out in the world that I believe is that you just should not be consuming. I think that they make you more negative, more upset. They bring just bad mindsets into your life. And they're things that you should actively avoid. And this happens in all areas of life. You know, there is magic content that I won't name that, like, we've had patrons literally stop listening to our show and quit magic because of certain magic content. And I have family members that watch political content that I'm like, you can't watch that. Like, you're going to be upset all the time if you watch this kind of stuff, if you listen to this kind of stuff. And I want to talk about that content. So the first thing that I want to talk about is, like, the content that you consume and these influences. Like, how does this content make you feel?
So I really like... There was a period of time where I read kind of an absurd amount of magic content. Mostly,
me too.
Mostly because I feel like if you're still in sort of the early stages of playing a lot of magic, you just get like, it's like having, I mean, it's like monologues, but it's like having conversations with people who are a lot smarter than you, right? And it's a good way to sort of bring yourself up. But over time, I eventually sort of start to realize, you know, how mediocre to bad a number of these articles are, and just that, like, I'm not really getting anything out of that. You can tell, basically, if I have to produce a column every week, and I have to keep talking about Standard because that's just what it is, and I keep, you know, posting these new decks over and over and over and over again, at some point, it's just not going to be that good. Or I mean, there are these, I think of, like, the Patrick Chapin articles before every set, right, where he'll just go through and make, like, 25 decks of each color, right? And it's just, it is what it is. They're kind of interesting to look at, but, like, I'm not going to go on Cockatrice and spend a bunch of time playing with, you know, the 10-second Patrick Chapin deck.
You can take highlights out of that content, but, like, that's probably what you're looking for, right? Like, you're like, oh, he had this idea. I want to build on this. And that's great for what Patrick is doing. What I want to focus on this part, I love what you said, right? Like, at some point in your magic career, you're probably consuming everything. And it's good that you're doing that, because it's giving you the most opportunities to learn. Because
it makes you feel like you're learning. But at some point, yeah, I think it started making me feel a little overwhelmed with how much was really out there. And just recognizing that and being able to dial it back a little bit really helped me be happier in playing Magic.
And that's kind of touching on that. Like, how does that make you... How does what you're consuming in your life in the form of content make you feel, right? What is this content doing? And I want to preface all of this by saying, like, sometimes you're consuming content for entertainment, and that's the only reason you're consuming it, and that is completely different than the thing that I'm talking about right now. Sometimes I'm just going to watch New Girl. Sometimes I'm just going to... I'm going to sit next to my wife and watch The Bachelor, as many listeners know.
Right. How does it make you feel? I don't know.
I feel terrible.
Vaguely disgusted?
I feel a lot disgusted. I wish that this had not happened in my life.
Yeah, medium self-loathing.
But, like, I'll watch Dancing with the Stars with my wife, and that is just pure entertainment, right? Like, I don't get better at dancing by watching people dance.
But you don't expect to either, right? I mean, it's not like you're watching Dancing with the Stars hoping to become a great dancer. You're watching Dancing with the Stars idly because you feel like it.
Casey and my wife, so Casey lived with us for a couple of years, and they watched Chopped together, and they loved watching Chopped. But I think that part of that is, like, how does that make them feel? Like, I think that part of it does make them feel like that they are learning about, like, how you could make these ingredients together, right? The other thing is, like, how does the content that you're consuming make your day better? You might say, like, oh, that's, like, not everything's going to make your day better. But, like, think of it this way. There is a large subgroup of people that love looking at pictures of puppies. And like that is a large percentage of the
country. By a large subgroup of people, you mean all people. Yeah. You mean human beings.
But like you like looking at pictures of puppies because like puppies make you happy. So Michael walks into my house today. Obi got a haircut. He looks super cute. He looks like a puppy. Did he make you happy when you saw him?
He did. I said, Obi, you're looking trim today.
Yeah. He just made you, like, you're like, oh, man, Obi, you look so cute today. I just want to, like, the same thing can be true. Like, if content that you're listening to gives
or
you a...
reading or watching or whatever, right?
Yeah, reading or watching or whatever, like, gives you positive feelings, as long as those positive feelings aren't...
I think going into kind of the next one, like, how does it improve you as a person or player? It's like being able to separate those, right? There are like things you watch for idle entertainment, right? Like I watch, so, you know, if Survivor is on or whatever and you're watching Survivor, like I'm probably not, you know, thinking that like, oh, now I can go on a, you know, week long wilderness trek. Great. But so, sort of separating things.
Yeah. So this, I don't know if this is the right path to go down for this episode, but it could be. So for example, I, grew up very religious, right? I am not religious anymore. At all. I don't believe in a deity of any kind, but here's the thing is like, I don't fault anybody for believing in that kind of stuff or consuming that kind of content as long as they're making a positive impact in their lives and other people's lives around them. Right. What you have to avoid is, you know, like, emotionally driven content is fine as long as you're not hurting somebody around you with the emotions that you're feeling, right?
Or yourself.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I think that a big part of sort of getting better at anything, but especially magic, is sort of, like, accepting that you're kind of crappy at it.
Oh,
and then
especially life, like,
and then just
it's
like moving forward, right? It's like, I'm not going to feel bad or guilty about being bad at this, right? I'm not going to beat myself up about it. I'm just going to say, okay, so maybe I suck at this right now, but let's get a little bit better.
Yeah. I think that this podcast has made me, you, and for those who've been listening for a long time, you've probably noticed the journey that I've been on, but creating this content and the kind of content that I consume and things like that. When I started this podcast, I was making $11 an hour, you know, as a customer service rep for Chrysler. And I moved on to a startup company that I have stock options that I have to go buy, apparently, for the startup that got a $1.3 billion valuation in the time that I worked for it. And, you know, now I work for this huge enterprise company in product development. And honestly, the reason that I've been able to move in a direction in a career and the reason that I did so well in interviews to like move up in these companies is because of the things that we teach on this podcast. It's about how does the things that you consume and do better you as a person or player, right? Like, why do you listen to constructive criticism? Is it to get the power rankings? Awesome. Is it to get the training grounds? Awesome. Like, but you probably have a reason for why you listen. And
it can be as simple as the soothing sound of my voice. I won't fault you.
It's not mine because I have a terrible voice, but it could be Michael's. And then...
I know that no one listens for that reason. It's okay. I wouldn't listen for that reason.
And the next thing that I have on here is, how does the content that you're listening to improve the community? So, I'm going to bring up something that happened before Michael got to Magic. So, there was something that was honestly pretty funny that happened to Magic. Like, in my opinion, it was funny. You might not have found it funny, because honestly, it was also really offensive. But there was a person that went to GP Charlotte.
Oh, come on. That was just straight funny.
I think it was pretty funny.
Yeah, if you don't think Crackgate is funny.
All right, so you weren't playing then, but you know what happened?
Oh, I saw it on Reddit. It was great. That's like,
I mean,
still my favorite.
My mother
post on
texted
Reddit.
Me about it, and she doesn't play Magic. And my mother doesn't use the internet. So, like,
I mean,
it made news stories on the actual mainstream news.
Michael Jenkins is proud of being in one of those photographs. Oh, you can't see his, you know, you can only see his face, not his butt, but, you know. Yeah.
So,
still great.
So for those who don't know, a Magic player took pictures of himself next to people's butt cracks at GP Charlotte, and it made
poses. It was
it made mainstream media. It was one. It was really funny, but also it was. It certainly did not help the community in any way.
Okay, so it didn't improve the perception of Magic, like, by people who don't play Magic.
I hope you're not about to defend Crackgate, because it was, like, literally terrible.
I mean, I laughed at it,
but that doesn't make it a good thing.
So, you know, it doesn't have to be a good thing, but
You also can't defend Crackgate on a podcast that hopes to get spoilers one day from Wizards of the Coast.
Well, so what I would say is that something can be funny, but ultimately, I mean, I think that the fallout from that is probably negative for Magic.
So if he had gotten written permission slips from every person that he posed next to, it probably wouldn't have been a problem.
So I think in general, posing next to people's butts is an overrated as far as a form of harassment, given that, you know, you can't see their face or whatever.
Yeah, but, like, there are literal people whose families and friends text them after it was on mainstream media, like, dude, you need to pull up your pants. Like, people can't see your reaction.
I really want to say, were they wrong?
No, but they're not wrong, but, like, you also just can't just post.
I don't know. That's the internet.
It is the internet, but, like, you just can't do that. And also, like, so you could argue.
So Wizards did not want him to do that, right?
I mean, not so only that, I mean, he got banned. Yeah. But here's the thing: is you could argue, did his post improve the community? Maybe.
So okay, but I wouldn't look at him as a content creator, right? Like,
no,
I'm not throwing my support behind him by viewing his bad example.
But he's a good example of the type of thing that I'm talking about, right? Like.
So I would think
you could have brought the attention of people's, you know, needing to pull their pants up at Magic tournaments without posting pictures of people needing to pull their pants up at Magic tournaments.
To be fair, I don't think he anticipated this being nearly as funny or popular as it was.
Being on Channel 13.
Yeah, it just ended up being a lot more funny than he probably thought it would be. But I think when I think of, like, certain people who I don't want to support as much, I think of people with negative attitudes, right? Like some guy doing something he thought was funny and then sort of having it get out of control. I have a hard time faulting him too much outside of, yeah, that's probably like not something you should go around doing.
There are a few content creators that actually actively upset me. There are a few shows that I just like won't listen to because I actively am like, you are making Magic toxic for people.
I find there are a lot of this in like just news media in general, right? Yeah. Where it's like everything has to be something and we're reporting on things. Like,
you have to turn things into things.
Paparazzi and celebrity media is probably the number one example of this that comes to mind, but just like constantly, you know, destroy people's lives for. Follow them around with a camera, take pictures of them.
Yeah, take pictures of their butt cracks.
Just ridiculous. Well, you know, the difference is that one person does it once and posts it on Reddit. One person has a TV channel dedicated to it, right?
Yeah. Overall, I would say, like, what you want is you want to, like, look at how the content is making you feel. Is it making your day better? Is it improving you as a person? Is, like, how does it impact the community that you're a part of? And it might sound weird coming from a couple of content creators, but like, if this isn't checking the boxes for you and it's not purely entertainment for you, just don't listen. Like, you're like, I believe that consuming other content that doesn't fit these things, and maybe we're that, and if we are, please let us know. But if it doesn't fit into these things, it's probably making you a worse Magic player or person.
Or just upsetting you. Like,
yeah, or right? Just making your day worse.
I mean, I just think in general, like, avoid things that are actively detracting and try to go out of your way to understand which things maybe you're doing it in a more subtle way, right? Because not everything is, like, as cut and dry as watching, you know, like, some things it's really obvious that they're affecting you negatively. Some things I think you have to maybe realize that it's causing things that aren't directly negative are causing you to feel negative about yourself or others.
Next up, we're going to wrap this up. We're going to move on, kind of wrap up the show. Don't forget that you can become a patron of the show by going to patreon.com/ccmtg. You can, right now we're at $224 per month. At $300 per month, we'll get cast tokens made. Michael's getting a goat token of himself because, you know, he is just a part of the meme. And
I really love Trading Post.
That's not true. You're it just is. A part of
no, the meme. I am a lover of Trading Post.
I love Trading Post. You're a part of a meme.
Trading Post is just so good it spawned its own meme.
Yeah, you can also... Where can people find you?
You can find me on Facebook in the Facebook group, or you can send me a message. My name is Michael Hinderacher, and you can find me on Twitter at MagicMikeMTG. You can also... Like, whoa, please
what,
come up.
What was the Twitter?
Magic Mike MTG.
Best.
Yeah. Oh, man. Paul loves that, by the way. He loves it because it's really easy to harass me. But you can also, like, if we're at a GP or whatever, like, come up, say hey. I got to meet Adrian this weekend. It's really cool.
Good. I'm jealous, actually. I wish that I had met Adrian. You can find me on Twitter at SpencerHinH. You can find me at the Constructive Criticism Facebook group. You can find our content every week on ConstructiveCriticism.com, MTGCast.com, YouTube.com. Just search Constructive Criticism. It means the world to us. You can join the conversation by joining the Facebook group. That's the Constructive Criticism family. If you are a patron of $5 or more per month, you can join the Constructive Critics Facebook group where it's just exclusive to you guys, and we will answer questions. We will do what we can to make you more part of the show in that group. That you can $5 or more per month, you can be part of that. You can also join the Discord group. There's a Discord channel for Constructive Criticism. We post the link to it every so often. I'll try and put a link in the show notes for you. You can join the clan by messaging me on MTGO at Spencer13H or 13Dev. You can message Quinn at Earthstrip. It's URTHSTYRPE. You can also tweet at us every week with hashtag Would That Be Good. Hashtag Would That Be Good is our Twitter outreach program. You tweet it and we will read it. I honestly probably have not looked at these.
Me neither, so it's going to be sweet.
Yeah, I don't think I've looked at these in like a couple of weeks.
So we might be reading some weird stuff is what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm just saying that, there's a lot. There's a lot.
That would be good.
So, but it's been like 2 weeks, so we have to go to... Okay. So we're going to this one, which was me. This is not nearly as funny 2 weeks later, but sorry, guys. Computer not working. Obviously, they are turning our computer into a microwave to make it a camera to watch us. Hashtag Would That Be Good.
I think that would be bad. I would be really mad if my computer turned into a microwave into a camera to watch us.
It was so much funnier 2 weeks ago. Going to my first PBG this weekend at...
I assume that's a store, yeah.
Foam Brain Game. It's MM3 sealed. Be it my pools or my plays, my goal is to top 8. Hashtag with the Puget. I hope that you did top 8, Dylan. Dylan, let us know how you did. I'd love to see your pool.
I like that attitude too, right? It's like we're just going to get there. We're on the get there plan. If I pull well, sweet. If I play well, sweet. But we're going to get there.
Scotty posted a picture of a toilet seat that has a sticker on it that says 5-minute parking. Violators will be violated. That seems inappropriate.
It seems aggressive. Yeah. Like,
I don't know that I've ever sat on a toilet seat for less than 5 minutes.
As a general rule, don't want to be violated.
At Kesha Rose, what is your favorite Starburst flavor? Hashtag Would That Be Good. This is important. I agree with this. I will favorite this and retweet it. I need to know, Kesha. Kesha, tell us, what is your favorite Starburst flavor? Spencer13H, I need... At Magic Mike's definitive Girl Scout cookie power rankings. Hashtag, would that be good?
Samoas, Thin Mints, Trefoils, everything else sucks.
Wait, what's the third one?
Trefoils.
What is that?
Just the shortbread one.
Oh, okay.
When you feel like something plain, it's good.
So, tagalongs are like just, they're like weird Reese's to you? Like
no, what? They don't, their texture is bad. They don't, like, they're too melty.
Okay.
It's, ugh.
I don't like coconut, so.
Well, I don't really like coconut either, but I do like it on cookies.
So, it's really funny. I think that Thin Mints, Girl Scout Thin Mints are so different than like, so like you can get like grasshopper cookies from the grocery store.
Yeah, they're okay.
And they're okay, but like Thin Mints are just different.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Every once in a while, I kind of feel like I'm eating toothpaste. So, you know, they fell to second. You know what terrible. I mean? Like they're kind of.
No, I don't get that with Thin Mints. Everybody says that and I don't understand it.
Eh.
Austin says, at CCB, Death Shadow as a sideboard alt win con in Modern 8-rack. With Bob in the main hashtag, that'd be good.
Man, we can cut discard spells for Street Wraith. This deck is improving so much.
Wait, what?
We can cut some of the discard spells for Street Wraith. Deck is getting so much better.
Oh, A-Rack?
Yeah. And oh my God. And then guess what else we could do? We could cut the racks and play Traverse and Death Shadow in the main instead. And then we could cut the Dark Confidants for Kolaghan's Command. And then we could play a 3-color mana base. Oh, man, this deck is sounding really powerful.
Kira's follower says, "That's been the change. Hashtag, would that be good?" And it's a picture saying, "Breaking news. Did Trump frame O.J. Simpson? Question mark. Millions call for the president to try on the gloves with his tiny hands." I don't have context. All I know is that if it wasn't for O.J., we wouldn't have the Kardashians. So thanks a lot, O.J.
Wait, so are you happy for OJ or sad for OJ? I can't tell if that's...
You can tell. You're making me say it out loud.
Okay. No, it's that there's nothing wrong with being a Kardashian hater.
I just... It's obviously they're really good at marketing, but like that doesn't mean that I enjoy their content.
Yeah. OJ looks really skeptical in this picture.
Also, the gloves clearly don't fit OJ's hands, but they clearly would fit Trump's hands, which is why that picture is really funny. we'll be live once again with at LTO MTG tonight at 11 p.m. Eastern time. MTG hashtag would be good. Yeah, so we do limited time only live every week at 11 p.m. Eastern on our YouTube channel. So just go to Constructive Criticism every week at 11 p.m. Eastern to see limited time only recorded live. DCLand giving C-3PO a red arm on Star Tours. Hashtag would be good. P.S. About to ride Star Tours. P.P.S. Spencer, eat your heart out.
I'm pretty sure we read that one before.
Oh, that's March 7th. Why is that here?
Because you're sorted by top, not latest.
Oh. That makes so much sense.
But it does mean we missed one, which is Kiora's follower tweeting, Modern Masters 2017, Iron Fist on Netflix, Day 2 of March Madness, Beauty and the Beast, and an Irish drinking holiday. Hashtag, would that be good? I mean, yeah, mostly. We could cut out, like, 1, 2, 4, and it would be better, but, you know.
Anyone who is good with Google Sheets want to help me out? Looking for a personal spreadsheet to record stats. Can anyone help me with this? I want to record overall win percentage with the given deck. Trigger about 3 to 5 decks at once. Win percentage with known decks in each format that I am testing.
Personal advertising, and would that be good, Spencer?
We have a patron who is actually helping me with this, and he is doing an amazing job, and I'm really excited about what he's doing.
I'll make you a sheet that just has yes or no.
That's not helpful. It's not helpful literally at all.
That's the point.
That is it for this week. What did you learn this week, Michael?
Oh, man. That Kesha never replies. It's really rude. It's really disrespectful of her.
I learned that I'm willing to do this podcast pretty late with you.
Yeah, what time is it?
It's 1:12 a.m. I have work in a couple hours. I need to go to bed. Thank you everybody for listening, and we'll see you guys all next week.
magic, 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 magic.